Revelation 17, we're on verse 14. If you don't have notes, someone will get them for you. A digression. These will wage war against the Lamb. These refer to the Antichrist and his associates. Wage war. Is polemeo, the future active indicative, and they will do this with Arnion, Lamb, metaphorically of Christ, the Lamb of God, which emphasizes his first advent and what he accomplished. Because, for this reason, he is Lord of Lords. Kurios, repeated in the singular and the plural, present indicative of I me. He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And those who are with him, and the ones with him, those with him, preposition meta, with him, are called. We've got three terms here to designate believers. And here in this context, when Christ returns, he's going to return with his bride, the church. Believers specifically out of this dispensation. And there are titles for us. We are the called, the invited, kletos. We are the chosen, the adjective eklektos, chosen, the chosen ones, and faithful. Pistos, adjective in the plural, means faithful or trustworthy. One, the angel's teaching jumps forward to the very end of the trib to illustrate the kind of support the seven accord the beast, as well as demonstrate the level of hostility these 11 men share in their hatred of God. The single-mindedness of the seven, three horns will be removed. That's the way I see it, okay? Is ultimately their total undoing. They as individuals, heading up the armies of those different European nations, they, in spite of all the evidence in the tribulation that they're on the path to doom, they stay on it. That's the pernicious nature of negative volition that you and I don't want any part in. No amount of evidence, nothing, changes a person who is committed and digs their heels in, hardens their neck with regard to a doctrine or Christianity in general or God. The single-mindedness of the seven is ultimately their total undoing. They will at Armageddon face a crushing military defeat at the hands of the true Christ, not the false Christ. Remember that the Antichrist declares himself to be God, nonetheless, and the ultimate Messiah. And the false prophet will do miracles to, impress the stupid. And always what we have here is the guidebook, the Bible, to keep us out of that kind of mess and get us on the right path. They'll have other things besides the Bible. They will have the two witnesses. They'll have the 144,000 and whoever else God uses to spread the truth. And they'll have the book of Revelation right out in front of them. Hey, they might even have my webpage, our webpage. Who knows? The conflict anticipated in the parenthetical statement is the battle of the great day of God, the Almighty, 16:14. As supporters of the beast, they will be called upon to invade the land of promise in an effort or an attempt to thwart the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're going to go fight this? You're going to go fight Jesus Christ. Oh, maybe this time we'll win. And they've had all this time in the tribulation to see that, no, that doesn't work. Even your execution of the two witnesses was overturned by their resurrection in front of everybody. But that's what I've said all along. You can point truths out in the scripture right and left to these kind of people out there. They got a different mindset. They're headed a different direction. Believers and unbelievers alike. This is the same battle prophesied in chapter 19, and we'll do more detail there. 19 verses 19 through 21. Other world leaders will fight against God and His anointed, as the king of the West is but one of several, a number, several may not be the perfect word here, one of a number of powers that will march into the land of promise. We've already seen the verse that says that demons are going to go out there, stir up these people, and God's going to, as a for instance, dry up the Euphrates River so that the kings of the East, and there's a lot of them, they have huge armies, always have had. They're going to come pouring in there to Armageddon. And all the rest of the, all everywhere, Africa, you name it, and of course Europe. U.S. will not be in existence, so that won't be an issue. I don't know how you get people readily from South America. But anyway, or Australia. They might find a way. Because there's a bunch of vultures that need some food. Literally. They're going to have a great big feast on these people that come in there. The because clause assigns the reason for their collective defeat. The title Lord of Lords and King of Kings suggests someone who has no peers. He's at the top of the proverbial political, military pyramid, who has no peers and is sovereign over all who rule in the earth. He's the Lord of history. And Jesus Christ, as the God, glorified God-man, controls human history. My Father has given me authority over the nations. They can't do anything that will interfere with the plan. Yes, they can run under the permissive will and go up against His plan, like so many do, but only to a point. They can't frustrate the fulfillment of prophecy and the advance of the plan of God. So we can get all wrapped up about what they're doing right now and how stupid it all is. But the thing is, He's got it under control. Whether that relates to your personal life and acclimating to your set of right now, at this point in your history, acclimating to your set of common human problems. You're not going through anything someone else hasn't gone through, or worse. You've got to remind yourself of that. You've got a role to play to gain that high distinction of endurance, the endurance factor, to cross the finish line. And it's sad to see people fall by the wayside. You know, to some people I like to say, where's so-and-so? I heard a word from them. They suddenly hate this? They found something more important, more fun? Where are they? Somebody will say, where's so-and-so? I said, I don't know. They're in hiding, I guess. Their STA is wrapped up with something they think is so blank important, and it isn't. Pray for them. Maybe they'll snap out of it. Paul applies this title to God the Son in 1 Timothy 6:15 and in Revelation. In Revelation, it occurs at here, 17:14 and 19:16. Wrong book. Paul speaking to his protege, 1 Timothy, who's off in Ephesus. He says, I charge you. See, he's an apostle and he's over him in authority. We don't have apostles anymore. The Pope can say he's an apostle. They can people run around and say they're apostles. They're not apostles. I charge you. So this is a charge to all pastor teachers. Excuse me. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Jesus Christ, who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate. You know what that was? You know what the good confession was? Pilate says, are you a king? Here he is all bloodied and at the mercy of Pilate. And he made the good confession. He did not deny who he was. Even though he was the underdog for a minute, the Pilate's going to appear in front of him. Probably at the great white throne judgment, because he probably never became a believer. And after his dealing with Jesus Christ, Pilate's career went, And what I've read is that he was no longer a friend of the Caesar. And he got put off on an island in exile. He could sit about there and think about it the rest of his life. Because he was in power when Jesus was raised from the dead. He had all the close-up information to check all this out and its legitimacy. And the only thing you could do with that kind of evidence is conclude, yeah, he was raised from the dead. The empty tomb, the various details. That you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the proper time. That time's already been set from eternity past. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Nebuchadnezzar designates Daniel's God, a God of gods and a Lord of kings in Daniel 2:47. He came around. He's one of these exceptions of a person in high places. Also see Psalm 136:3, Revelation 1:5. The reality behind this title precludes anything but the utter defeat for the beast and his coalition. It's not even going to be close. No damage will be done to the Lord's side of things. And the Lord single-handedly will do in all those armies because He is omnipotent. And He can speak one word and He can crush them like you would crush a tomato. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of them. Packed in there like sardines. We'll get to that in 19. He will not be alone in his triumph. Those described by the three adjectives called, chosen, faithful, must be the same as the armies which are in heaven, Revelation 19:14. And it's only fitting that the ones who come back with Him have resurrection bodies like He does. Because all the rest of the people in heaven, they don't have resurrection bodies. They've got to wait till the second advent. You know, Abraham and that crowd, they're still in heaven. Now, it's good, but they don't have resurrection bodies yet. We step up ahead of the line, even though our dispensation came last. Well, not last, but next to last. Armies in heaven can refer to both saints and angels. But here, the threefold designation, people are big on titles, aren't they? Some people. They like titles. Okay, we got titles that mean something and always will mean something. But here, the threefold designation is confined to believers. Called, chosen, and faithful can only apply to saints, not to angels. Called and chosen occur together in Matthew 22:14 in Jesus' statement, many are called, but few are chosen. That's based on foreknowledge, not on some arbitrary, we don't understand why God saves some and not others, as in Calvinism, which is so corrupt. John Calvin knows it now. That his theological grid was a travesty, or is a travesty. How can you be a person who believes in justice for all? Not being involved in partiality and putting someone above someone else. So God grabs this one, chooses this one, and lets the others perish. What? That's what they teach. And they do it in various versions. Luther taught that if anybody is under the convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit, they're going to be saved. You can't resist the Holy Spirit. Bull. I got a verse in Acts where they're rebuked and say to the Jews, why are you always resisting the Holy Spirit? I like to knock those things down. Because I do it before God and before heaven and before angels and before you who are here and any out there listening. Yeah, people are big on titles, aren't they? All these titles will be ripped away from them. To be called is to be invited to the eternal plan via the gospel. All who are called, evangelized, are not chosen due to the fact that there are many who hear the good news but do not believe. We've already documented that. Those who do accept the message of eternal salvation are granted the title, the called. Hey, I'm the called. Okay? That's one of my titles. Those who do accept the message are granted the title, the called. They're also designated the chosen or the elect. Eternal salvation is based on divine foreknowledge, Romans 8:29. Compare also 1 Peter 1:2. Who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Is there anything God doesn't know ahead of time? Yes. He knows every single person that would ever be born on this earth, and there's a register with their names in it. And he knows out of all those who would in time come to saving faith. They may have to go through some things before they come around. Others of us don't. The first two titles for the accompanying saints points exclusively to the salvation adjustment. The third title, faithful, is confined to experiential devotion to the plan of God. Experiential devotion to the plan of God. It is strictly based on faithfulness in phase two, resulting in the attainment of the crown. Not all, and not many believers, based on my studies, will attain to the crown. The ones who get the crown, the highest reward, that marks them out forever, compared to the mass of the millions and millions that make up the church age crowd, they're going to be few. I mean, if there was only 100,000 of them, I don't know. They're the faithful. You don't get the title of faithful. Now, obviously, everybody at one level was faithful. They believed. But beyond that, so many never get on board with sound doctrine. And a lot who do fall off. In fact, very few out of the millions and millions who are called and chosen will enjoy the accolade, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Matthew 25:21. You're up for a promotion in the kingdom of God. While in context, this refers to phase two achievers coming out of the trib, it equally applies to saints of the present dispensation. To suggest that all believers achieve phase two distinction is to fly in the face of many scriptures that warn against coming up short in terms of eternal reward. The faithful, along with the many who failed to attain the crown and its attendant glory, will return with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords as spectators in the great battle of God Almighty. We will simply be spectators. Now, in the millennium, we will have duties assigned to us. But there, just for the impressive display to those down on the ground, they will see us fill the sky and Christ comes down and touches on the Mount of Olives and splits it in half. And then he turns on these armies and decimates them, turns them to mush. So our church age appearance in the heavens will add to the shock and awe on the ground level. Christ, the glorified God-man, will fight against the enemies of the cosmos all by himself. One against millions, presumably. All right, let's secure a place. Let's get ready for the Lord's table. Excuse me.